had a really successful holiday and got renewed and reacquainted with friends and family. My own celebration, my own New Year's, they told me I had a great time. So, okay, I'm glad to be all together again. But we have a very productive meeting. We have at least one call to the audience. Is there anybody else online? Okay. Mr. Alfredo Areza, did I pronounce that correctly? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm way ahead. Rolf.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Willie Blake.
Here.
Commissioner Kathy Krishna.
Here.
Commissioner Kendall Croson.
Here.
Commissioner Jose Munoz is going to join online. He's on just yet. And Vice Chair Krista Romero Cardenas was going to try and join virtual. And it doesn't look she's online just yet. Chair Ron Spark.
Present.
Commissioner Lisa Vega.
Present.
And we do have quorum and 5 board members.
Good. Excellent. All right. We are official. We can do action. Call to the audience. Mr. Alfredo Ariza. We usually ask you to limit your remarks to 3 minutes, but since you're our only entertainment tonight, we'll let you go a little longer.
Well, I don't plan on talking very long.
You come close to us. We thank you.
I'll try to be brief. I also have a more lengthy presentation that I have. It's only 2 pages long, and I know
we can reproduce it and have it circulated among.
Yes, yeah. Then that would be fine. And it also has some photographs as well. And it's kind of funny because I'm on the Environmental Services Committee, so it's kind of a strange thing to be on this side. My name is Alfredo Ariza. And I am the president of the Palo Verde Neighborhood Association. The boundaries are 22nd Street to the south, Broadway to the north, and then bounded by east and west by Wilmot and Cole. It's a square mile. And inside, as you may know, we have Palo Verde Park. It's a pretty good sized park. It's bigger than Himmel. It's the one thing that's keeping our neighborhood together. And we find that it's really important that we do as much as we can. And I'm sorry, but I forgot to say hello to you because we've met before.
Okay.
We won't take time away from them.
Okay.
When we moved into the neighborhood in 2009, the park was in rough shape. There were homeless individuals within the park, mostly in the hedges. Because they were both on north and south side of the park, and so they were living inside the hedges, and then they were also taking a lot of time in the park, just sleeping and, you know, doing whatever it is that they do. And after we moved there for a couple of years, the Parks Department cleaned up the neighborhood. They cleaned up the park. They got rid of all the hedges and everything. And then after a while, the homeless problem we were having was diminished, and to the Parks Department's credit, we thought that they did a fine job in doing that. Afterwards, we formed our neighborhood association, and we used the opportunity to use the park as a place where we could have music festivals, movies in the park, big activities, parades. We have a Santa in the Park event every year. We've been trying to, but COVID kind of took the COVID and the renovation took its toll as far as our ability to use the park last year. As you may recall, the bond package for that particular park involves a new irrigation system, new lighting, basketball court, which replaced the old tennis court, pickleball court, and turf reduction. Work began in December of 24 with a projection of only taking 5-6 months to complete. It went from being a 3 to 4 or 5 month project to almost it didn't get finished till October.
It's done well.
It was not done well. It was done rather shabbily. That's our concern. What actually happened, the park was closed, and we experienced one of the driest monsoons and the driest all year long was dry. And so because the existing grass and the trees relied on the sprinkler system to keep everything alive, well, they cut all of they stopped using the sprinkler system completely. At the very beginning, there was no visible effect as to what was going on. But over time, we realized that the grass was not being taken care of. The trees were not being watered at all. The stress on it being one of the hottest summers and the driest summers made it really noticeable that something should have been done. But it was really difficult to understand what was going on because they locked everything off. The whole thing was fenced off. And you would see, you know, 2-3 guys wandering around the park in a pickup truck, and then they would get back in the truck and take off. It was weeks, if not months, before they actually started doing some work to it. And
can I direct your comments to the funding of the projects rather than maybe something that might have to do with parks, maintenance, and activities? Because we're here as far as funding projects.
Yes.
So I just want you to, if you could direct that, your comments along those lines.
Well, let me tell you what happened, though. When they put in those new irrigation lines,
yes,
they killed at least 15 mature trees. And then they almost killed all the grass. And right now, the park has to backtrack a little bit because when they killed all those trees, they left absolutely no shade in the small dog park. And so now the Parks Department has to come up with a Ramada that they said that they could put in to replace the shade that they killed off. And the reason they killed it off is because when they put the irrigation lines, they went right by the trees and they cut all the roots, and that's what killed all the trees. And that made it, we lost, like I said, 15 trees throughout the whole park. 3 right there by the small dog park itself, 7 right alongside the baseball field at the east side, and a couple more in between. The thing that also bothers us as much as was the fact that most of the grass hasn't come back yet. It's been replaced by weeds, primarily cheeseweed. And the cheeseweed has taken over a good deal of the park. Another part of the bond was to reduce the size of the turf, which we were okay with. We live in a desert. We need to conserve as much water as we can. But on the east side, we woke up one morning and they put in rocks where we all assumed that they were going to put in decomposed granite. And so what we ended up with was this. The east side of the park was this. And then after we complained, they gave us this, which is smaller, but it's nowhere near the decomposed granite that we had expected. And what that means is that the access to that along that east side of the park was a sidewalk. If they were to use just this, the only other alternative was to walk in the street. And so after a lot of complaining, we finally got them to add this, which does not help. You know, it helps some, but it's not still the decomposed granite. So access along the sidewalk is limited now.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to have to cut you off at that point. Some of this is really technical and maintenance issues. It does have to do with our what we are funding. And we'll
give
staff a chance to absorb that and get back to you, especially, and the Park Association. But as far as an agenda item for us to discuss, we'll have to defer to the next meeting. Parks will interface with you.
Parks, contact information on the form?
Sure.
Yeah, so if we get contact information form, we can follow up with them.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And we've been working with
the thank you. I mean, I think it's very sobering. We approve these projects, and it's a very joyful kind of thing, but you really hear what happens on the ground, and it's a very sobering and important for us to learn about that. And I appreciate you coming forward to tell us about it.
If I may say one more thing, we have been working with Parks Department, and they've been more than helpful in order for us to reclaim the part of the park that we want to use.
I'm glad to hear that.
We have a really good relationship with the Parks Department. Okay.
Thank you.
Our complaint is not with them. Our complaint. I'm sorry about this. I didn't feel it.
Okay. Thank you for coming forward. We have had two walk-ins for all the audience, so we will stand.
I can't let you have these. I got to return them to the park.
You probably had a deposit to put up. Get those out.
If you want some, you can go get some yourself.
No, don't do that.
And again, we will circulate anything you want for the commission.
This is the
one. Yeah. Thank you.
And the photographs from the there as well.
Excellent. Okay, we have two walk-ins here. Beverly Tidwell, you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
So I represent the Loma Verde Neighborhood Association. I've lived there for 33 years, behind See's Candy, just west of Park Place Mall. And my neighborhood association is very much against you putting a bike path through the little narrow buffer that was deeded to the city of Tucson by the original mall creators. So I had asked for a copy of that deed, but someone has not been able to issue it yet. But I'm pretty sure they didn't plan for you to have a little transportation way through there, because it was to buffer us from transportation and commerce from Park Place Mall for the neighborhood. Initially, there was no buffer there. It was just going to be mall and houses, and that grass park was donated for the purpose of buffering. So we're very disappointed to think that the city might now be thinking, oh, my gosh, we need to rearrange the neighborhood and put in a, you know, transportation route through there. So our whole neighborhood, I would say 99%, 100%, very happy for the bike path to go on any street through Loma Verde. There's lovely trees in our neighborhood. There's lovely vegetation. It's a nice ride with a bike through there. Most of us ride bikes, and we're very happy to have the bike path go through Loma Verde Neighborhood Association. We just do not want you to bulldoze any of the park, Loma Verde Park. It's like 20 feet wide in some places, to put a bike path through. Have you all walked through that park? Yeah. So it's a very narrow park that already has disc golf and a lot of other activities going on there with the schools, the soccer, baseball, and other things. So my plea is to please leave that little strip of grass. It's the only piece of grass between Craycroft and Wilmot. People come from many parts of the city to use that park. I was talking to a young group playing disc golf. They came all the way from Irvington and Mission to play disc golf, you know, a group of young teenagers. So putting a bike path through there just is one too many things happening at that little park.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming to see us and give us your point of view. We have another walk-in, and Mr. Stephen Tidwell.
Yeah, that
must be related.
That's my wife, Steve.
Oh.
First of all, our park is very active. We have dog walkers, regular walkers, frisbee golf, kids playing soccer and baseball. There's families with strollers, and there's a playground right there in the narrowest section of the park. If you're to put a bike path, it's going to be very close to that playground. I think it's the park is thing is only 60 feet wide, and the playground is in there. So it's going to have to either go right next to the playground, right by the street, or it's going to be in the other area where there's grassy area. It's not safe. That's one thing for sure. Now, all you have to do is go walk in the park and you'll see. There's no space for a bike path next to that playground. Or if you do, there's always space, but then it's unsafe. Second of all, that intersection, that's the entrance to the mall that you're expecting the bikes to come through. And then they have to cross the street to get into the park. They have to cross in front of all that mall traffic. That's going to be an incredible disaster for somebody. I mean, you could spend a lot of money on a fancy bike path and warning lights and all this kind of stuff, but it's going to cost a lot to make that thing safe. However, the streets are calm in our neighborhood. It's designed so there isn't a lot of through traffic. But winding roads for bikes are fine. It's a very calm, peaceful neighborhood, lots of trees, very peaceful. I don't see why they would have to put it through the park, disrupt disc golf, playgrounds, and cost you a lot of money because you're going to dig it up. And then on top of that, they have this idea that they're not going to do it to disturb the trees. That's what we've been told over and over again. Well, if they don't disturb the trees, like this other guy's park, it would mean they would have to put that bike path to the center of the park because all the trees are along the side of the park and the telephone poles. So if they're going to put that bike path through there, they can't put it on the side of the park. It means they have to put it through the center of the park. Well, the center of the park is where we're using it. The frisbee golf, the strollers, the baseball, the soccer, the kids in the playground. It's completely not practical, and it really would take somebody to go look at our park. It's this narrow L-shaped park. It goes around Park Place Mall. And the cheap option, go through the neighborhood. Nobody's opposed to that. And they're calm, peaceful streets. On the south side, that street is almost no traffic. What's the name of the
14th Street.
It's 14th Street, almost unused. And then you could go around. You can go down Van Buren and weave through the most beautiful neighborhood and not spend a dime and just paint those little white bicycles off. And otherwise, I see an incredible expense for the crossing, for the digging up, for the paving, the bulldozing. Why spend all that money?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And thank you both for coming forward and addressing us.
Well, thank you.
You have it as an agenda item. You can stay and hear a presentation. Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's a great parcel. I feel for you.
If I may interrupt for a second, sure. We have Krista Cardenas online and Jose Munoz online.
Okay, welcome both of you and Happy New Year. I hope you're doing well. People ask me how I'm doing, and I say about the same as last year. So,
thank you, Dr. Spark.
Okay, the next item is the approval of minutes from October 20th, 2025. Excellent. My compliments.
Thank you.
If everybody has, went over the meetings, minutes from last, I'd like to make a motion that we accept these meetings.
I'll second.
Okay. if we need a roll call.
Commissioner Willie Blake?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Kathy Kretschner?
Yes.
Commissioner Jose Munoz?
Yes.
Commissioner Kendall Croson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lisa Vega?
Yes.
Vice Chair Krista Romero Cardenas?
Yes.
Thank you. And Chairman Ron Spark?
Yes.
Okay, motion passed.
Good. Thank you all. We're required by the city clerk to issue an annual report of our products of 2025, what we passed on, as well as an attendance report. We did generate an annual report. I'm sure you'll all be familiar with the contents. We do have an attendance report, and it's actually remarkable, the attendance of this commission. I'm very much aware that many other commissions and committees often don't even have a quorum to meet. And with very few exceptions, everybody has been amazingly well attended. Maybe that's a tribute to what we do here. But thank you all for your participation. We submit this to the clerk as well. Maybe he or she won't find it plausible, but it's fact. We can back it up. Okay, so the next item.
That's an action item.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. Thank you.
I need another cup of coffee.
I'm with right. you on that.
Okay, so we will need a roll call to approve the submitted annual report and attendance report. I welcome a motion on that.
So move.
Second.
Kendall, second. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Willie Blake?
Yes.
Commissioner Kathy Kretschner?
Yes.
Commissioner Kendall Croson?
Yes.
Commissioner Jose Munoz?
Yes.
Commissioner Lisa Vega?
Yes.
Vice Chair Krista Romero Cardenas?
Yes. And just a quick thing. Excellent job on synthesizing the notes for the year. Great job. Thank you. And yes.
I'm not hearing.
Thank you for the notes on the minutes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Krista.
You're welcome.
And Chairman Ron Spark?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay. The next item is a presentation and then discussion. Loma Verde Park and Alamo Wash. I believe the technical word now or name is Jonathan Rothschild Alamo Wash.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's called. Hi, Colin. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's actually not quite a presentation. It's really
we need to up our volume. Thanks. Thank you.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah. Now I can.
Okay. Okay. So Dr. Spark and Commission, it's actually less of a presentation and more of a quick update just on the status of the project, what we've done so far, and what the next steps are. So we are at the point in this project where we are wrapping up what we're calling the alternatives analysis phase of the project. And so we had a design consultant that's an expert in trail design and planning. And they came down and took a very detailed look at the opportunities and constraints associated with multiple different routes for this Greenway project. And I want to remind you that this project is, on the connection side of the bond, the largest project in the package. And that's by dollar amount. The challenge that we have with this particular project, which I briefed the commission on previously, is that we did all the cost estimating for this project back in 2017. And as you all know, costs have more than doubled in that time period between 2017 and now. So we really tasked our design consultant with helping us figure out what we think the best possible project that we can deliver in the next couple of years with the available funding that we have. And we've looked at this in a lot of different ways. And I'm feeling pretty good about where we are in the process. We will be making a presentation to the Department of Transportation and Mobility director team on Wednesday. And then we will also be speaking with the city manager later this month. And once we get some feedback from those folks, that's when we would like to present our draft recommendation to you all. And we'd like to do that at a special meeting. And so I think it was on the agenda that we've proposed that special meeting be on March 16th, which is a Monday, just like this normal meeting occurs at the same time in the same location. And we'd like to just spend, you know, about an hour and a half going through all the work that we've done to date, everything that we've heard from the public, including a lot of feedback. I mean, we've gotten a lot of feedback on a lot of different segments of the project. But as you heard tonight, Loma Verde Park has been one of the areas where we've gotten a lot of constructive feedback and ideas. So we just want to present all that information to you and make sure that you're really in the loop on what we're proposing. And then we would not ask you all to make a decision on that March 16th meeting, but rather we want you to kind of digest that information, think about it, and then we wouldn't ask you to make a vote on our proposed recommendation until the following regularly scheduled meeting on April 20th. So that's kind of where we are. I just wanted to give that update and let y'all know that we are thinking very carefully about this project and trying to get creative with it because it is such a big challenge with the limited funding and the complexity of the project.
Well, thank you. That's a good summary. I'm wondering about managing the enormous amount of information and things you've gone through, and yet having the commission really understand enough of the pros and cons of each of the segments in order to have a coherent discussion on March. In other words, I'm concerned about managing all the information that's really available and that's germane to sort of grabbing a good handle on the project.
Yes, I appreciate that concern. And I think what we're thinking is that we'd like to provide all of the slides for the presentation on March 16th ahead of time. Normally, we do that 1 week ahead of time. I think in this case, it might be better to do it 2 weeks ahead of time if we're able to do that. If we're ready at that stage, which I'm optimistic that we will be.
Okay. And also, the input from the Department of Transportation and city manager, their critique would also be helpful to get it in advance of the meeting.
Absolutely. So, and I think all of the feedback from our director team and the city manager will be fully integrated into the presentation that you receive ahead of time, ahead of that March meeting.
Another comment is this goes through what, two wards or three wards? I can't recall.
Three.
So
yeah.
We need each of the ward offices to feel informed about the discussions and maybe even get their comments on that. If you could provide that before our meeting in March.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. And we've been working with each of the ward offices as we've moved through this alternatives analysis phase. And we've had some of the ward office staff come to some of the public meetings, which has been helpful to us to get their point of view. And I just spoke this morning with one of the new staff members at Ward 6. So we are actively coordinating with them, but I like your idea of making sure that they get a copy of whatever we provide to you and, you know, get those comments, you know, compiled for you all as well.
Open it up to the commission. Any additional concerns or things you'd like to have?
No, I think we get the materials, you know, several weeks ahead of time so that we can look it over, read the proposals or the what was going to happen, what is now being wanting to be entertained. I think it'll be a huge help for us at that meeting so that we can ask questions.
Yeah, I think if we come forward with the information, that we all go over it, be better.
And I like the fact that they're getting awards involved as well.
One other thing, and I know this is maybe this is a future thing, but I wonder if there is a way of projecting the potential use of people of this bikeway pathway. In other words, obviously it's a big ticket item, and we would hope that somehow that would have a major use after we've spent all that time. And I don't know if there's any ways of doing that kind of projection. I don't know whether Living Streets Alliance or one of the other bicycle communities does that. But I think that would be helpful for us to weigh some of the decisions we might have to make. And does that resonate with any of the other commissioners? Other members of staff have any comments on this? Okay. Or your parks people. Okay. Well, that's excellent. I think we've pulled that together and we know what's going to happen, and I appreciate you've got a lot of labor ahead of you in order to make this, to download it to us as far as the information that we'll need. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, and, thank you.
And Mr. Fortuna, he had to pay his bill to talk to us. We can barely hear him. Next time, pay your bill, okay? Yeah.
We'll send him some spinach.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The next item is one that I'm like the princess with the pea under the pillow. This, the Cushing Street Skate Park. This is something that I would like at least some discussion on where we are and why where we are, I guess.
And I can provide information on that. So we've been working with the Arizona Department of Transportation for both permitting of the project and also looking at getting approval for them, since this is in their right of way. And we've been in discussions with them for several years at this point, and they went through a consultation process dictated by the federal government's Section 106 process. So we reached out. They reached out to tribal entities as well as local jurisdictions that might be interested in the project and see if there's any feedback from them on it. And since that point, they have packaged everything together, and they need approval from the Federal Highway Administration, since Cushing Street Skate Park is underneath I-10. The information we have is that in early December, the Arizona Department of Transportation submitted the formal request for approval of the project to the Federal Highway Administration, and neither ADOT nor we have received a timeline for when FHWA will be reviewing and providing us with feedback on that. Once we do receive, hopefully, approval from FHWA, then there is kind of legal matters to deal with, the signing of different agreements between the city and the state, and then we would be able to start with a rebid and then start construction.
So at the end of the day, we're going to have to rebid out the project because all the costs have changed.
We won't know until we bid it.
Yeah, we won't know if there's a change in what direction. But we do know that the bid that we did
go out for last year, the contractor was not obligated to hold on to that their numbers.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is very exasperating. But at least these governmental agencies are not asking for money, right? I mean, there's no dollars attached to getting to beating over their use or fair use of their property.
No, the agreement is like a 25-year agreement for use of the space.
So it's like a lease arrangement, right? Is that like they still own the land and
yes.
the air rights and all that, but they will lease us the use of their property. Is that right?
They allow us the use?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the better. I don't know what the correct term is.
Well, it might be a utility access for all I know.
It'd be a right of way.
Yeah.
Right of way. Yeah. Something. Okay.
Right
of way.
There's lots of ways to do it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that would be kind of interesting, I guess. But so I hope we'll all be in place long enough to see this come to fruition. That's all I can say. Something to look forward to, at least. Maybe in Santa's bag for next year. All right, we'll move on to number 7. We have a change of the project request action item.
Correct. So this is at the Todd M. Harris Sports Complex related to the Phase 2 project. So there was a memo that was circulated, and I think Diana is pulling up the memo as well on the shared screen, so you all can take a look. The Phase 2 projects identified for Todd M. Harris are a new walking path, new parking lot, renovated existing parking lots and playground replacement, and two new restrooms, sorry, not two, just new restrooms with concession stand. So we are approaching 100% design and recommending two changes to the scope. Rather than the concession stand put in a food truck hookup, the new restrooms would remain in scope. And then the other recommendation would be to reallocate the funds for a new parking lot to the renovation of the existing parking lots. So on the subject of the food truck hookup, the department is recommending the food truck space and a large shaded area with picnic tables instead of the concession stand. This is because the ball field at this park hosts from the count that I received from our sports unit, 12 different groups. That also includes tournaments, city league, youth softball, and Friday night league. By contrast, if we're looking at John F. Kennedy Park, those fields host Tucson Mountain Little League, and the existing and new concession stands will be operated by Tucson Mountain Little League. So we have kind of a dedicated user group at Kennedy Park and many different variety of user groups at Todd M. Harris. So it is unlikely that a single user group would take on the responsibility of running the concession stand. So the food truck option would provide the flexibility for different user groups to have options, food options on site. Additionally, requirements for a food truck hookup are significantly fewer than for a concession stand, resulting in decreased cost impact to the bond and reduced annual operating costs to the department. And then the second recommendation is reallocating the funds for the new parking lot over to renovation of existing parking lots. So we work with our landscape architecture firm, again, and Associates on several other projects. And for Robert Price Senior Park, they did a parking calculation that we referred to for spaces per amenity, both a minimum amount, so minimum meaning required by code, and then a preferred amount for parking calculation. So on the second sheet, you see the two tables for how many parking spaces are required per park amenity that is available. And even in the preferred parking spaces calculation, we have arrived at 352 parking spaces, and existing parking spaces at Todd M. Harris is 519 parking spaces.
519?
Correct.
It's huge.
So this is a reduction, significant reduction.
No, so this is a comparison between what's currently there and what a parking calculation would tell us need or and prefer. The existing parking lot is not in good shape. It's pretty horrible. And because the current number of parking spaces far exceeds the recommended number of parking spaces, we as a department are recommending repaving the existing surfaces as a better use of funds than investing in a new parking lot at Todd Harris.
Okay, so I don't know anything about this, but is the calculation on parking spaces, is that a basis on the use of the Harris facility? In other words, you look at it over a year and there are obviously peaks and you need to meet the peak demand. Is that how it's calculated as far as the maximum needed or how is that? In other words, it's use, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the malls. Christmas time's the most intensive use of the parking lot. And
sure.
I assume weekends is most. So what is that how the need of the parking spaces is calculated? That's what I guess I'm being long-winded about.
In this case, we did not study Todd M. Harris for over a year to see where the maximum need was. However, the landscape architecture firm kind of looked across kind of usage of each of the different types of amenities that they see in different parks. And we pulled out their parking space recommendations for each of those field types. So you'll see by park amenity, how many parking spaces are associated with that.
I see that. Okay. So you that answers to some extent, except we need to really quite honestly factor in how intensive the use is or the peak use on a Sunday afternoon or
so. This is based upon all of the softball fields and all the multi-use fields and all the Ramadas all being used at the same time.
Right. Okay.
So that's saying the maximum of cars we expect to see out there at each one of those banks and at one time would be 350 and we've got 519. Right. So we've got some flexibility.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously that's only going to happen X number of times during the course of the year. All right. Yeah, that's very helpful. The fact that the parking lot's in desperate shape, that's a notorious thing as far as our image as a park. That's one of the things that everybody complains about. It's very adverse. Open it up for discussion, Kim.
After all that talk, what recommendations? I know what you recommended, but how can we put this recommendation into a motion?
Why don't you do it under the first page, under the number one and number two?
And merely move that the changes be accepted.
Be accepted, yes.
But I, Mr. Chair,
Yes, Randolph.
It seems like in the original plan, there was already renovation of the existing parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the $150,000, is it, that will be saved by not building the new one contribute to that beyond what was already going to be done?
It would contribute to the amount that we have for renovating the existing parking lots is insufficient for addressing the entirety of the parking lot. And the entirety of the parking lot is in roughly the same bad shape. So we would opt to do some of it and then leave the rest of it, would be kind of how that lands.
Well, it seems like the existing number of parking spaces is so far beyond the calculated preferred number that even if the usage exceeds that preferred number, sometimes there should still be plenty of spaces. That seems.
Yeah.
So I would move that we accept these changes to the original plan.
Yeah.
We've got
a second. I just have another comment. When you have a concession stand, you have somebody that's going to lease it, run it. You know they're going to be there or they promise to be there certain hours. I guess I don't know how you manage a food truck, an independent food truck, as far as have ensuring that you have that kind of service during the needs of the park when people don't have the option to go somewhere else for food. I hate to delay the motion, but I just have a concern about that.
Anyway. And so we can work it out with whatever entity that is planning to do an activity at that time.
Okay.
There are some entities now that will, say, have Kona Ice come out as a co-fundraising activity. So that would be one option. Another option would be we have a lottery system here at Reed Park where we have an ice cream truck that comes in. So we could also look at that for times when, say, the entity, the user group doesn't have a food truck that they want to bring in. So there's a lot of different ways we can approach it, yeah, depending on what the scheduled use is going to be at that time.
Yeah. So here's my question. Again, naive. So we have somebody that's going to have an event or a game or something, and they rent the space or they sign up for the space. Do you ask them at that time, do you want to have a food truck during your event? In other words, is that one of the queries that you go through when you ask them?
Yeah, we would have a mechanism of working that out with the group. So to give you an example of the pivot, if we had, as Jasmine said, there are some locations where we have youth groups that manage the concession stand, and that is their main source of fundraising. But they're responsible for operating it, you know, stocking it, doing everything.
Yeah.
Here, we don't have a home team, for lack of a better term. And so, yeah, we would work it out with those groups to know what would they like to do. And then, obviously, food trucks have to comply with, like, a business license, Department of Health certificate. We would have all that submitted to us as part of that process.
Thank you. That's good. All right, we'll have roll call on the change.
I understand, but do you need a second?
No, we got a second.
Yeah. Okay, Commissioner Willie Blake?
Yes.
Kathy Kretschmann?
Yes.
Amber Croson?
Yes.
Simon Yost? Commissioner Jose Munoz?
Sorry, yes, I approve.
Thank you. Lisa Vega?
I approve.
Vice Chair Krista Romero Cardenas?
Yes.
And Chairman Ron Spark?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes.
Thank you all. Thank you. We all found it, I'm sure, very educational. It was very interesting things that we don't know.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Jacobs Park Skate Park update. Just a nostalgia for being out of the Jacobs Park. That was such a nice ceremony.
The computer phones. Hold on.
Just to refresh the commission, we actually had the son of Mr. Jacobs out there.
Oh, yeah,
it's really, yeah, really moving.
Yeah, it was.
One second. We manage.
System needs to bridge.
Sure. Okay, cool.
Right. Jacobs Park, State Park. So in December, we launched a skate park design selection survey. And that closed at the beginning of this year, and we are now working with onboarding the builder for the selected skate park design with the general contractor. The intent is to have that delivered with the current construction project, so we're looking at late summer, probably August of 2026, for that whole park, including the skate park, to be complete.
Any questions? Wow, that's nice that we're providing a skate park. I think it's a resource we under resourced in our parks just in general. Uh, remember my youth, skating was a very important part of my youth. My wife and I know there are only a couple sort of private skate clubs in Tucson that's availability. It's such a great activity. It could be social, individuals.
Good feedback from community.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay, now we come to the dollars and cents or nonsense part of the discussion. Financial detail. Is Aaron or somebody going to provide that?
Yeah, Aaron's not okay. Joining.
Okay. All right, so tab 9 for everybody. Oh,
I think we're going to have to skip that one because
okay.
He's not in evidence.
We will get it up. We will provide on the agenda of the March meeting to
okay.
Revisit this if that's okay mm-hmm. with the commission. Yeah. All right, that's fine. I find that's one of the hard parts of a meeting without Frank Frisch here to massage the numbers.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're down to next steps. We've already mentioned our extraordinary meeting in March, which is the number 2. We have the regular meetings, and I hope to put that on your calendar. Any future agenda items that you'd like? I think we need to, again, revisit Loma Verde again. And also maybe some remarks about the Palo Verde Park. Okay? All right, we're staff.
All right.
Our commission and staff announcements. I have to step forward. I am appointed by Ward 6. We have a new council person. She sent out a notice that all appointments to commissions and boards are under review. And of course, she has the option to not review my appointment. So this may be my swine song for all I know. But I wanted to express my appreciation working with all of you. It's been very educational and actually a very inspirational experience. Be civically involved at the grassroots level, being helpful, and I thank you all for that. So if I'm not here, I hope you'll think about me. Don't talk about me while I'm gone. Okay. So I will. With that, if there's no other comments, we'll welcome
them. Yeah, I like it, but you didn't give me one of your bullet points.
Okay.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right. Motion for adjournment.
Well, can you ask her not to? If she's not going to renew you, just have you on board until she has somebody there to
okay.
take over.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it. We and Diana and I were discussing. We have a commission slot that has not been filled now yeah. for almost 3 months. And I'm very impatient about that. I think that's extremely important. We have the fullest, and so we're going to follow up on that.
Right.
That was Mr. Ryan Anderson was involuntarily removed, I guess you might say, or he was not.
I'll look into it.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Dr. Sparks?
Yes.
Thank you. Just a quick question before we adjourn for the group. I know we are sending the 2025 meeting minutes to the clerk, and we're also sending the attendance. But I believe we also need to send any changes to guidelines. And seeing that on November that we did make some changes, I sent an email to Diana. I don't know if there's – are we missing anything that needs to get sent to city clerk, Diana?
No, I don't believe so. The last communication, they clarified the rules and regulations, and I don't think there's been any changes or updates to that. So I think we're good with that. It's just the attendance and the and a report that we need to sign off and submit by March 15th.
Copy that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for that question.
Every announcement. Ward 1 will be hosting Fuga, a block party in Barrio El Rio, also known as Barrio Sobaco on the west side. So January 25th to Sunday from 10 to 1 p.m. will be, the streets will be closing down El Rio Drive, and it'll be like a mini cyclovia. We'll be in Joaquin Murrieta Park down El Rio Drive, and there's flyers and posters up and around the west side in Ward 1.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about the Roger Road celebration, the improvement project that we were involved with January 23rd. That's Friday from 10:30 to 11:30. You may all remember it was the one that we were trying to get TEP to move their poles for a year or year plus. So that'll be, I think, a really sweet to be out there. Okay. All right, with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you. I'm sure all of you come back.
Yeah. Sometimes I hope this. Matt, it's better to leave the stage with the audience wanting more. Rather than the other way.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Spark. You've been instrumental and such a bright light in helping. Thank you.
Yeah, we need lots more of you. We're just getting started this year. Yeah. Come on down here.
This is what I know. The wheel is finished.